This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
Nehemiah Middlefield is very excited to have a series of two lectures on the lectures here this week and next week. And this week, we're going to learn about environmental initiatives at Foundation Communities. As you all know, we have an ongoing relationship with several of their programs. We've got two speakers. Our first speaker is Megan Matthews, and she's the Director of Design at Foundation Communities. She coordinates the design and construction of housing that is safe, functional, energy efficient, and affordable. After spending 6 years working at an architecture firm, Megan knows that the built environment has a large effect on our health and happiness, and she strives to create positive spaces for people to call home. Megan is a licensed architect in the state of Texas and holds a Bachelor of Architecture degree from UT Austin. We also have Caitlin Essig. She's the Sustainability Manager for Foundation Communities. She oversees green capital improvements, green operations and maintenance, utility data management, staff education, and resident behaviors. Prior to joining Foundation Communities, Caitlin served in AmeriCorps for 3 years in Oregon and Montana. She spent 2 years as the sustainability coordinator for the city of Red Lodge in Montana and prides herself on successfully combating climate change in rural America. Caitlin holds a master's degree in sustainable development and policy from the University of Illinois and a bachelor's degree in psychology and environmental science from Southern Illinois University. Please welcome Megan and Caitlin.
Good morning, my name is Megan Matthews and I am the Director of Design for Foundation Communities. Just wanted to say thank you all for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. We're really happy to be invited and to share time with you guys. So before we get started, I'm curious about how many of y'all know of Foundation Communities or worked with us or volunteered. Okay, not all. Okay, great. And I understand that Walter Moreau, our executive director, came out a couple months ago, so maybe some of y'all saw him speak as well. But I'm just going to give a broad overview of who we are before we get started. So we are a local, homegrown nonprofit that's been around for 29 years. We have 23 communities in the state of Texas. 20 of them are in Austin, and then 3 are in North Texas. 17 of those are for low-income families, and 6 of those are for low-income individuals. We serve formerly homeless, veterans, those with disabilities. But our mission goes far beyond our residents giving them a place to live. We want to make sure that we provide the services on site that they need to succeed. And so we do that focusing on 3 different components, education, health, and financial stability. So our education programs include free after-school and summer learning programs for about 1,000 kids, whose average GPA we're really proud to say is a 3.4. We also offer a range of adult education classes, including ESL and college prep. Our financial stability programs include free income tax preparation, and in 2017, I think we prepared the tax returns for about 20,000 people and returned about $34 million back to the community. We're really proud about that. We also offer financial coaching, a matched savings program, and college financial aid. And then our healthy living programs include fitness and nutrition classes, access to integrated primary and mental health care. We offer health insurance enrollment as well. Since 2014, we're proud to say we've enrolled about 30,000 people into insurance through the Affordable Care Act. Our approach to affordable housing in Austin is truly holistic. So before we get going into our program, I wanted to show y'all a video which will give you a better idea of who we serve.
This is my home, and I enjoy my life here. I'm grateful, so grateful.
I absolutely love that I can even sit down and sit there.
I love my home. It's compact, but very efficient. This is my breakfast bar. This is my bedroom, my large and lovely living room. And this is a place where my family pictures.
my apartment's perfect. And I set it up so that it feels I'm a piano space, I have a jazz space. And this place has allowed me to maintain my creative ability.
I just look at the people that live near my people. I'm thrilled for this place of my home. If it were not for Blue Bonnet and Foundation Communities, I don't know where I would be. And that is the truth. And that comes to you. Thank you. Thank you. When I first came here, it was so beautiful, so I didn't think that I would even see it.
But beautiful, beautiful home.
Hi, welcome to my house. This is my kitchen, my guest bedroom, and you can see all the red. I quite snowballed. This is my living room. There's a boy in every room as well. My bedroom, and my handicap bathroom.
Harlem Point has a playground. My son loves it. They have a soccer field where he loves to run.
Basketball court, the learning
center. The reason for helping me good grades. I love learning.
This is our beautiful kitchen. This is our family room where we play games and dance. Right.
I love games.
This is my room, and this is all the fun happens.
That is why I get a chance to work on and meet friends.
I love the way the community looks. It's beautiful. We have trees, we have a beautiful red flower. It's beautifully landscaped facility.
Harlem White, clean. Everybody over here is so friendly. It's a really beautiful place. And it's ours. Our place in Harlem. I love it so much. I love being here.
Go to Harlem White. Here to all the New York and New York.
Sustainability really starts before we start design. It starts with our site selection. So our projects wouldn't be possible without tax credit funding, which is a competitive process for us. Some of you may not be familiar with it, but oftentimes there's different points available to us in this competition based on where we're actually locating the project within the city, based on its proximity to different amenities and services and things like that. But where possible, we do try to prioritize sites that are within a quarter mile or a half a mile from public transportation. And not just, you know, driving distance, obviously, but walking distance. We need a safe route for folks to be able to walk from their home to the bus stop or the train stop. We also look for properties that are close to job opportunities, close to childcare, close to elementary schools, so that our residents maybe don't have to use their car if they don't have to. It's really difficult to find affordable land in Austin, so when we do, we try to build as densely as possible without feeling like we're cramming everybody in there. We do provide a lot of green space too for everyone to get out and stretch their legs a little bit. But once the site is selected and we've moved through the tax credit application process, we know that the project is happening, we move into design, and we approach this process from an integrated mindset. What that means is we have every key player at the table from day one. That includes our architects, our engineers, our commissioning agent, our lead certifier, our CM at risk, construction manager at risk. To build something as complicated as these buildings can be, it really is in our best interest to make sure that everybody is there from the beginning. So green building and sustainability are always a topic of conversation at our weekly meetings, and we set goals early so we all know what we're working toward. And then, so historically we've pursued certifications from Austin Energy Green Building, LEED, Enterprise Green Communities, and we've even got a project in our portfolio from the Green Building Challenge. But that being said, we never want to buy points. We're not in the business to get green certifications, we're in the business to provide affordable housing. That being said, we do still have LEED Platinum and Austin Energy Green Building 5-star rated properties within our portfolio, which we're really proud of. We've also learned from experience that being on the leading edge, so to speak, of sustainability and green building is not where we want to be. We have projects that are certified LEED Platinum that are actually some of the worst performing projects in our portfolio from an energy perspective. Caitlin can speak more to that if you guys have any questions. But then we've also got communities where we have come in and renovated an existing property that we did not build. And we go in and we retrofit with sensible and traditional systems that are user-friendly, easy to maintain. And those properties are actually some of our highest performing in our portfolio. It's really a surprise, but a lesson that we've taken to heart. So just to summarize that, we're learning that user-friendliness and maintainability of our buildings and systems is where our focus should be instead of using the latest unproven technology. Because in the end, if our residents can't operate the thermostat or if our maintenance can't service a highly complicated HVAC system, then the building is not going to perform as we've intended it to. So we've determined that there is a directly proportional relationship between simplicity and energy efficiency in our buildings. So moving on to construction, we meet weekly with our contractor on site, have the architect there. We have a third-party LEED certifier who also is in charge of our testing and balancing. They come out periodically during construction to help us monitor, make sure that we're building to the intent of the drawings and what we've said we want to achieve. And then we've also developed a more robust commissioning plan, something that would be more akin for a commercial building instead of multifamily. Because our buildings are so complicated, we just realized that we need that plan in place to make sure that once the building is finished, that all of the systems are operating as intended. So as Caitlin mentioned, I want to share sort of a case study. This is our latest project under construction out in the Miller community. It's located at the corner of Tilly and Philomena, sort of in the northeast portion of the whole redevelopment. It's going to be 132 units of 1, 2, and 3 bedroom apartments. Right now we're targeting Austin Energy Green Building 4-star and LEED Gold, but I'm hoping that we can maybe push it to 5-star and LEED Platinum, but we'll see. We are expecting to see a reduction in energy and water, significant reduction in energy and water from the baseline. And then I've listed the rents up there as they compare to the average rents in Miller. So I think we're expecting around $480 to $1,340 a month compared to average rents, which would be $1,182 to $2,228. This is a current construction photo. This is right at the corner of Tilly and Philomena. The first floor is our leasing office. This property, as do all of our family properties, will have a learning center on the ground floor, which sort of acts as the heart of our community and gives us the space to provide all of the educational, health, and financial stability programming that I mentioned earlier. This map shows our great location in Austin, really. I'll sort of point. So this circle is half mile from our site, which is highlighted in blue. And then this is a mile. So as you can see, we're easy walking distance to HEB, which has a pharmacy, also to the Bartholomew District Park. Blanton Elementary is a little bit further, but still within walking distance. And these pink dots are all of the bus stops that we've got within walking distance as well. This is a current photo of our covered bike structure. I just wanted to point it out because we're going to have ample storage for them to have their bikes stored out there and have a maintenance station. So again, ideally, maybe they're using their bike instead of their car to get to HEB or wherever they need to go. So we built to super high green standards, as already mentioned. So we do this because it keeps the residents' utility bills low, which directs their impacts their bottom line. And it also helps promote healthier indoor air quality, which is always a good thing. So we do this in a few different ways, just to highlight some key ones. Our exterior walls, we pack the 2x6 studs instead of 2x4. We pack the 2x6 studs with R19 loose fill wall cavity insulation. And then we also combine that with R6 continuous insulation on the exterior. And then for the windows, we use double pane insulated vinyl. The units, when they're finished out, will have durable materials, including 100% ceramic tile, which makes it easy to clean. So again, contributing to the healthier indoor air quality. And it also is great for us as owners, as opposed to maybe putting something like carpet in, where we have to take that out and it's in the hands of the landfill. We're reducing our waste and our costs that way as well. The building is also solar ready per Austin's new solar ready ordinance, and we're actually, keep our fingers crossed, we're hoping that we have funds in our budget to be able to put solar on this over the construction. So we're working on that right now. The picture of our courtyard. The steel structure there is just off of our learning center. We're going to provide a nice shaded deck for them to be able to take advantage of these nice spring days that we've had, maybe some nice summer days too. So as I already mentioned, the learning center acts as our the heart of our community and allows us to have all of that key programming in place right at the residence backyard, really. And then this is, I just thought this was a nice picture from the rooftop. You can see downtown Austin from really the top two, maybe top three floors of the Jordan, which is really exciting. So
how do we do sustainable design in existing properties whenever we're purchasing old hotels and old nursing homes? We are really focused on making sure that we have strict standards that all of our property staff and maintenance leads know what to do so that we can reduce our costs as much as we can. So we kind of do this in three different ways. So the first one is that we really take advantage of pretty much every Austin Energy incentive program. We've been doing this for years now. We did a really big project in 2012 where we were able to change out thermostats and change out AC units, and I think we did some solar shading and things like that. We kind of did a big retrofit right after we bought this property. And since then, we take advantage of things as often as we can. Austin Energy is great because they offer things for multifamily affordable housing. And so I'm kind of the person that helps coordinate that and either send an application or write a letter, whatever it needs to be, so that we can really utilize everything that Austin Energy does. And the second one here is just that we prioritize and have set standards for all of our operations and maintenance. So these are just kind of a few things that my team manages pretty regularly. For example, the LED lighting, we well, mostly for the last 5 years. And now that LED technology has finally gotten low enough in cost for us to purchase, we're sort of moving in that direction. And the way that I do this is that I do green property walks at all of our properties once a year. So we go in and we check to make sure that the maintenance leads have the right faucet aerators and make sure that, you know, they know what LED lighting to purchase and that they're purchasing Energy Star refrigerators and all that kind of stuff. And since we have sustainability goals and a mindset, we're also able to prioritize more larger retrofits ahead of time. So in some cases, if we're, for example, we have a property that's about 20, 25 years old, and we just changed out all the AC units across the whole property. And what kind of triggered this was that we slowly had to start replacing them on a rolling basis over a couple of years, and we realized, okay, we should just go ahead and knock all of these out. So the great thing is that I get that information, I know how much that cost was, and then I submit it to our nice tracker for all of our energy and water, and I can actually track the savings over the lifetime, which is super cool. So we actually know how much this pays back. And this isn't a payback for us, this is a payback for our residents. So just to give you a better example, so this is sort of talking about water retrofits that we do. These are three properties that are single adult properties, and two of them used to be hotels, and the third one on the bottom used to be a nursing home. So I know it's pretty small up there, so I'll just kind of talk about these numbers here. But basically, what we're able to do is track all of our water usage by each gallon, by each bedroom, every single day. So before, in 2013, before we started doing these water retrofits, we were up, you know, in the upper 80s in terms of 86 gallons per bedroom per day were being used on that property, which is pretty high. And so when we realized that, hey, we can really save a lot of money, let's go ahead and invest in a large toilet retrofit, for example, we are really able to see that drop off significantly. So at Skyline, we did low flow toilets, we changed out all the faucet aerators, so that just kind of slows down the water flow that's coming out of your faucet, and in the bathroom and the kitchen sink, and we've seen a 42% savings, 42% decrease. So we went from 86 gallons per bedroom per day down to 50, which is pretty huge. Spring Terrace, we only did the low flow toilets, and this was a big challenge because we ended up having to remove part of the sink in order to do this, and we didn't want to remove the sink because it's going to cost money to do that, but what we found is that even replacing the sinks and the toilets and really truly retrofitting this, we were able to cut the water consumption by 50%, which was pretty huge. And that happened almost instantaneously after we did that project. And then Garden Terrace, they did flow toilets, they replaced some shower head valves, and did a boiler replacement, and they're also at about 50% water savings right now. And these properties, since they're our single adult, we actually pay all their utility bills. So this is an example of direct savings that goes back into our organization, and then we flip that right back into the services that we're providing. So into the resident benefits, as we are going to talk about resident organization benefits. So the way that the sustainability department sort of breaks us down is that we have our health, our education, our financial stability. And then what we try and do is take those key areas and figure out how we're going to talk about sustainability in all aspects of those. So the four things that we always talk about to our residents and staff is indoor air quality, waste and recycling, energy usage, and water consumption. So we try and figure out how we can integrate those into health, financial stability, and education. This is a cool picture of my team, Tyler and Bianca, and this is just a quick rundown of just two things that we do in health. And we do a lot more, but I wanted to kind of pick the high impact areas. So our health initiatives team, the folks that do those Zumba classes that you saw in the video, they also do health fairs at all of our properties. So we go out and we talk about green cleaning. So in this picture, they have like a Febreze, a Comet bleach, and a Greenworks multi-purpose spray. And we talk about what's actually in those products. And we encourage them at the end of the day to use vinegar and baking soda because it's a lot better for your indoor air quality, but also they're going to save a ton of money. if they switch over. And they love this demo. It's really engaging. They get to take home a bottle with vinegar and essential oils and learn how to clean with it. And the great thing is that we come back pretty often, so we're actually able to check in with residents who may be using that. So some residents say, yeah, my kids have their own bottle now, and they clean up at the end of the day, and it's really fun and engaging for them to have these conversations at such a young age. And the next thing that is definitely our biggest, highest impact is our community gardens. So we actually just installed 2 community gardens last month, which is a pretty big, heavy lift for just 3 people. This is a quote from our resident, Michael, and he's sitting in his ADA raised bed. So we were able to create a community garden that is ADA accessible down off Slaughter at our Homestead Oaks property. And we got a grant through Whole Foods, which was super great, which allowed us to do all this and really invest money to create something that's going to last a long time. And Michael's been wanting a garden pretty much since he moved in, since the property was built. So it's been about 3 years now, and we're just super happy to be able to get him that opportunity. And he says it perfectly in his quote. And the next one that we did was Learning Center Garden. So at the multifamily properties, we have learning centers where the kids get a free after school care and hang out. And I put together an opportunity for the kids to, if they wanted, to design and build their own garden. And so the kids, the teenagers there, did all of this from the beginning to the end. We just kind of helped, you know, get the dirt to the location and get the funding that they needed. But otherwise, this was all theirs. So this is just a short clip of what they did last month.
Beneficial for us because there really isn't a whole lot of money out there to be able to do programs like this.
It works.
so the Recreating Future Camp was the opportunity for us to create a curriculum that focuses on green and healthy living.
So the Green and Healthy curriculum, we reached about over 500 students every semester in our next generation. So it's really cool to be able to see the impacts. And they're so smart, and they're learning their curriculum so fast. So we're kind of having to figure out, okay, what do we do with these super smart kids who are learning recycling in 1 year instead of a few years? So it's an ongoing project, but super exciting. Something else that we do to reach all of our new residents, so every new resident that moves into our property comes into their new unit and gets to hang out and see all this green make ready materials, which is that right hand picture. And I can't make it out too much, maybe besides the recycling bin, but we provide them a recycling bin, a recycling magnet, that green cleaning bottle that I was telling you about that we do in the healthy demo. They get a thermostat card to learn how to use their thermostat correctly, and we have clings in the bathrooms to that say, take a 5 minute shower, you can save, you know, this many gallons a day doing that, and also to report leaks, so any water leaks that they see right away to say something and make sure that we get those taken care of. So financial stability, we essentially took everything that I've talked about and created a City Green program. This was actually created about 10 years ago now. And so we've just kind of modified it as we move forward. But basically, folks are getting an opportunity to learn about how they can save money by living green. So this is in our financial management course that is at each property. I think they do like maybe 10 or 12 properties a year. And so the residents are able to get an opportunity to learn about accounting, learning how about savings, etc. We also have an hour-long piece about saving green. So what is how much you're going to save if you buy napkins, reusable napkins, instead of buying paper napkins and paper plates and all that kind of stuff. It breaks all that stuff down, which is super cool. So this is actually a nice flyer that we made, and this is coming up on this May 13th up at our North Texas property.
So we all want to be good stewards of our resources, both financial and natural. For us, it makes good sense, not only for us, but also our end user, our residents. But given that we are the forever owners of these buildings, building sustainably means building durably. It means that we're building to the best of our abilities today so that we've got this building for many tomorrows. There are some other benefits up there, healthy and air quality, we've kind of covered. So we'll wrap up with just a few photos. This is our Cardinal Point Apartments. You saw it in the video, the first video earlier. It opened in 2017, and it's a family property. This is Bluebonnet Studios. You might recognize it on it's on South Lamar, and it's for individuals, and it opened in 2016. And then this is a rendering of our next community for individuals. It's up off of Mopac, just south of Parmer, and it's going to be called Waterloo Terrace. It will open in 2020. So look forward to that.
And just to give you sort of a look at how much we are really truly saving, this is a big giant dump of all of our accounts for our energy and water across all of our properties. So the top graph is our owner account. So that's like our learning center, gas and electricity and water, leasing office, et cetera, et cetera. And so this is our 2013 versus our 2018 and sort of the decreases. So since 2013, we've been able to decrease our consumption by 18% and our energy, which includes electric and gas, by 10%. Which is super cool. And then the bottom one is the resident plus the owner. So I wasn't able to pull out just the resident savings, but once a year we get all the resident data from Austin Energy and we're able to add that into the mix, which is super cool. We can see how they're consuming. And so we're kind of right there. We actually are 1% extra in the water savings, so 19%. And our energy usage across the whole gambit is 9%. So it's pretty cool to see this, that even if we have a slight bump up from the year before or something, looking back, to 2013, which is our baseline, we can really see how much we've been able to save. And I think that all the programs and everything that we do, everything comes together. And the bottom line of this is really cool to see. So I think that's it. So thank you for having us. This is our contact information, and we're super happy to be here. So thank you again. Questions? Yes.
So do your residents pay utility bills?
So at our single adult properties, which is six properties, thank you. Six properties, we actually pay as a service, as a benefit of living with us, we pay for their utilities. And so those are the single adult properties, and they are just high efficiency units. So just like the studio that you saw in one of those videos.
Mm-hmm. But the other 20 units, the residents pay utility bill?
So that is, it varies from property to property, but generally speaking, we pick up the water bill, and so they just have an electricity and gas bill to pay. And sometimes we pay water heating too in addition to that. It just kind of depends on how it's broken down on the property. But yeah, we've been able to pick up the water bill, which is super fabulous in most of the properties.
Another question of architect. Do you have to go back and renovate some of your properties as they get old? I mean, what's the cycle before you go in and renovate the old places?
Yeah, that actually might be a better question for Kaylin. I'm more on the new construction side of things. But I'll speak from the development side of things. Anyway, we are starting to think about renovating properties, purchasing and renovating. So that would fall onto my side of things. But you know, for any new ones that we would get, but any existing ones, would you have an answer to that?
So we haven't bought, we haven't purchased any existing buildings in a while. Not since 2011 around there. So, and then before that, we sort of picked up everything. So I think, you know, as the cost of the land is going up, we are really gonna be savvy about what we're picking up. And so I think that we'll eventually purchase existing buildings again. The other bonus of that too, right, is in the world of sustainability, like any existing property is gonna be better for the environment than a new construction build, so.
Are any of your properties rent-free, or must one pay? Is there a charge at all of them?
There is, yeah. That's sort of, I think, out of Caitlin and I's scope of knowledge, but there is rent at every one of our properties. It might be very low, depending on what you're earning. It is all based on you know, where you fall, where your income falls on compared to the median family income in Austin.
So the affordable housing is 30% of your income. So it just depends on, you know, like for example, this woman who was retired living in a two bedroom that we saw. So whatever, you know, whatever income she has, we're only taking 30% of that. So if we have a older adult that's living in one of our SROs, you know, has a part-time job, we're only taking 30% of that. So it will always be a very small number in the grand scheme of how they're budgeting.
And through contributions and donations that the difference is made up?
Yeah, so most of our incoming money is from our rent, which is actually really cool. So we, you know, we're offering all the other services and, you know, really able to put our money back into them. So it's just our priority for us. Yeah, we never have to worry about the rent that's coming in, or you know what I mean, maybe like prioritizing someone based off of whether or not they have a little bit more income. It's really about filling each unit for a specific need.
Well, but so even the person paying the loan with that, the rent is enough to cover the expenses of the building.
Yeah, so we like at the start of a project, and again, this is sort of out of my realm of knowledge, so I'm going to speak at a very high level. if I don't misspeak, hopefully, But we establish sort of our rent schedule at the beginning of the project, and so we already know we have X number of units set aside for those earning 30% of the median family income in Austin. We have X number set aside for those earning 50%, 80%, et cetera. We do on some of our properties have some market rate units, but I think our preference that we've heard from property management is do them all affordable, 80% and the 5 below. So because we've structured in that way, we know what we can expect to get from each property on a monthly basis. That maybe hopefully answers your question a little bit. Yeah.
I'm curious on the new construction. It seems at least in the beginning days of green building, it was a very high upfront cost increase over conventional building. I'm just curious over time if it's still a really high upfront increase, or is it if it's gotten a little more affordable?
Yeah, I mean, we would say that it's more affordable. There is still somewhat of a premium that we're paying on each property. Couldn't speak to a specific number off the top of my head. I could send something to you though later. But you know, we see it as it's just it makes sense for us to do for our residents. And since we're not in the business of buying points, we're never going to do something that doesn't make sense from like a just building science durability perspective. So you know, again, green building and durability go hand in hand for us, and that's why that little added cost that it might incur to build sustainably is worth it. One more question I hear. Anyone else? All right. Well, thank you all for having us.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at stdave.org and click on the podcast button.